Hello everyone, it's Jana here, or Jen Swen. It's the 20th of April, I think, and I'm walking home a bit delayed, very much more delayed actually. First I went to the post office to return a parcel and post a letter, and then I bumped into one of the other school mums on the way back, the one whose parents are from Cyprus, so just had a chat with her about it. And now I'm walking past a lot of cars that are queuing because we've got some temporary traffic lights on the high street and they're causing tailbacks on our road. I hope they're not going to be too long up there. I don't think they're realising what they're causing with the traffic here. So we had another morning of getting out of the house without too much stress and hassle, so we're trying something else with the kids, and so far it seems to be working. They're getting themselves ready without many reminders, and it's been a second morning of being fairly relaxed and getting out of the house on time as well. It's amazing. So yeah, so far so good. It's a new parenting book I'm reading that a friend recommended. And it seems to be working, so yeah, going with that for now. What else? I've been catching up on, I signed myself to some podcasts from the BBC, and the EU referendum campaign is really starting off now, because they've got the official in and out campaign cams, haven't they? So it's really, really started now. I heard this one, I listened to this Best of the Today program, and that had, for the stay in the EU campaign, they had Alistair Darling, Lord Darling, as he is now. Even though the interviewer, Nick Robinson, I think it was quite rude and kept interrupting him, he actually made some good points, and he brought some facts, even if the fact is that nobody knows what's going to happen. So it's all a bit risk, which combined with another one, Best of Today, where they're saying that the global economy is slowing, so all these countries that the outies are saying we could trade with, if the UK isn't inside the EU anymore. It looks like their economies are slowing. China, India, Brazil. Oops. The out campaign, I'm still waiting for some actual facts there, of what's going to be better afterwards. So far they are, all I hear is, oh, there's going to be, we're going to have freedom, and it's about national pride. Oh, whoops, I've never heard that one before. Scottish referendum, anyone? I'd just like to hear some fact-based, this is why the UK should leave. Not that I can vote, obviously, but I'd just like to hear a proper debate on this. Rather than just some emotive arguments. They had Gisela Stewart there. And I don't think the interview to her was one of the usual hosts of the Today programme. I don't think he took her to task enough, actually. The only argument she could bring was, oh, the UK pays £350 million a week to the EU, which, according to other figures I've seen, isn't even true, because that figure amounts to £18 billion a year, which is what the UK should be paying, but isn't, because they get their immediate rebate of £5 billion, so they don't actually pay that. And then, as the interviewer did point out to her, the UK then immediately gets like £4.5 billion or something back in subsidies for farmers and regions of low economic growth, or whatever it goes to. So actually, UK only pays 8 billion. There wasn't any mention of, and unfortunately this isn't quantifiable, so paying 8 billion a year into the EU, but the effect that it has in terms of, I mean, many people say there's a multiple of economic benefits that comes back, but unfortunately that's not very, very quantifiable, because you don't know. The UK is the premier location for German direct investment. Would that still be the case if the UK is not in the EU anymore? We don't know. Trading relations that the UK has with Germany, France, Netherlands, being amongst the top three in imports and exports, would that still be the case if they weren't in the EU? We just don't know. People also don't realise a lot of the regulations and that come out of the EU stuff that means that people get, you know, workers, employment benefits, you get rest periods, you get a minimum number of holidays. You know, also people don't realise that's EU law that the UK had to implement. A lot of that, the same with consumer rights, a lot of that is EU law. So, you know, safety. Products that come in from China have to adhere to certain safety standards, so they don't go off in your face. A lot of that is the EU. So a lot of that wouldn't apply anymore straight away, or would have to be brought in again by Parliament separately. So a lot of people don't seem to realise all sort of benefits that that would be lost. And then we don't know whether the UK government would bring those in again. And you can't really put a number on that, though. That's the thing. Estimates for the economic benefits, the way that the UK can trade and not have that much. I mean, people are complaining now about red tape. What do you think it's going to be like being outside the EU? I don't know. You can't put a number on that. But going back to Gisela Stuart and the 350 million a week, so that number isn't true, and she didn't get challenged on that. But she said she doesn't. The rebate is not good. The subsidies that come back isn't good enough. She wants to be able to spend all that money as she wishes, rather than having the EU tell her that it should go to farmers or whoever. And she would spend on the NHS. Now, the NHS budget is 116 billion this year. So that 8 or 13 billion, I'm not sure, I wouldn't make a massive difference. Maybe it would plug a few holes of NHS trusts that have run into deficits, into the millions. But I was also quite disappointed to hear that, is that all her argument? We don't want to be in the EU anymore, so we can have an extra 13 billion in the pocket, which she would spend on the NHS, which quite frankly, from all I hear, the NHS doesn't need more money thrown at it. It just needs to be organised better. It needs to have better procurement, so it can't be that one trust pays more for their syringes than another trust. Why? It should use it's massive. I mean, the NHS is massive. It should use that that buying power. I mean, I saw my physio a few months ago. She recommended something to me that I managed to get cheaper on Amazon. She told me that the NHS would pay. She said, please be careful with it. It costs us £100 to replace. I found it for 30 quid on Amazon. Why is the NHS paying that much if I can get it that much cheaper? Surely, you know, for bulk buying, they should get a huge discount. Staff costs, agency workers. From when I was in hospital with my pregnancies, I talked to midwives, and they said ever since the IT system came in that sort of allocates the shifts on an ad hoc basis, it's got really bad, and so many people leave because they can't hack it. They can't have, you know, and it's completely crazy. Why would you have people work like that? Once they do a day shift, then the next day they have to do an evening shift, then they do the night shift. It's completely crazy, and that's why people leave, and they come back as agency workers, and they do exactly the same job but as an agency nurse. And then the hospital has to pay a lot more because they pay agency fees. So I think if they organised the working patterns a bit better, did the procurement a bit better, all the mess up with hospital appointments that they have, if they did the administration a bit better, I think that would be a lot better to save money on the NHS rather than throw more money at it. But what do I know? Anyway, I'm also running out of time, so thanks for listening.